Good morning. Before I get started, I'd just like to thank and recognize my co-authors, Drs. Catherine Alaimo and Michael Hamm. I'm going to be presenting some information for my dissertation today. I have no relationships to disclose. I studied farm-to-school programs in the upper Midwest and northeast parts of the United States. I chose to study farm-to-school programs because, as many of you are already aware, they're proliferating across the country, and there are already a number of states that have passed legislation in support of farm-to-school programs, encouraging schools to buy locally grown foods for their school meals. And as advocates seek to institutionalize these programs, it's critical that the perspectives of those who are intimately involved in the day-to-day details of local school food procurement are included so that we can minimize contradictory or potentially unintended consequences. So the phrase farm-to-school program is broadly used as a descriptor for national and local efforts to connect children with local agriculture through the classroom, cafeteria, and the community. And we chose to look at the implications of integrating locally grown foods into the cafeteria because institutional food sales appear to hold the greatest short and long-term potential to improve both farmers' incomes and children's diets. So we looked at two research questions. First, what motivates farmers, food service professionals, and food distributors to participate in farm-to-school programs? And second, how do these stakeholders characterize the opportunities and challenges to local school food procurement? And to answer our research questions, we use qualitative methods and a case study approach. Maximum variation sampling was used to identify programs that varied on school district and farm-to-school program characteristics. And given the site specificity of farm-to-school programs, we're interested in identifying some of the common themes that describe the core experiences of program stakeholders into climatologically similar regions, which is the Northeast and Upper Midwest. Food service professionals at seven school districts agreed to participate in the study, and they identified their sources of locally grown foods. And the farmers and food distributors that they identified also were invited and agreed to participate in the study. In-depth interviews were used as a primary data collection strategy. Each participant was interviewed twice over 2 years, and relevant documents such as procurement records also were collected to enhance validity of the results and cross-check our findings. Data analysis was iterative. We used thematic coding and data matrices to analyze our results, and Atlas TI, a qualitative data analysis software program, was used to manage the data. And all of the names that I use in this presentation are pseudonyms, and any distinguishing characteristics are veiled in order to protect the research participants' identities. In total, seven food service professionals participated, seven farmers and four food distributors. Three were located in the upper Midwest and four in the northeast regions of the United States. The programs were located in rural, urban, and suburban sites with student populations that range from about 2,300 to more than 4,000 students. The free and reduced price lunch eligibility rates of the school districts range from about 30 to more than 85%. And six of the school districts had a warehouse or a central kitchen where food could be received. One food service professional did not have a central receiving site and required farmers to deliver food to more than 15 different individual school buildings. The programs were diverse in terms of their farm-to-school distribution strategies. The tractor represents those programs that source food directly from farmers. The small truck represents those that source food from produce wholesalers. And the larger truck represents food distributors that sell produce plus other perishables, but that aren't as large as a broadline distributor like Sysco or Gordon Food Service. And this presentation only focuses on the perspectives of food service professionals. So in the next few slides, I'll attempt to articulate why they participate in farm-to-school programs. We identified three interrelated themes that illustrate their motivations to buy locally grown foods. And in their own words, the students like it, the price is right, and we're helping our local farmers. Six of the seven food service professionals emphasized that the children liked the locally grown foods that were added to their menus, and the majority said that their students ate more fruits and vegetables when they were sourced from farmers and wholesalers. And this finding supports anecdotal reports that have connected locally grown foods to increased preferences for and intake for locally for fruits and vegetables. One food service professional said, "It used to be that I would stand around the cafeteria, and when we would serve like a red delicious apple, kids would put them on their plates because they were so shiny and pretty, but then they would take one bite and the rest would go in the garbage. And that is not happening anymore. The kids are actually eating their apples. And if they aren't eating their apples at lunchtime, they're taking them home with them, which honestly I'd never seen before. That kind of thing really prompts you, encourages you to want to sell the local stuff." And we heard comments like this with regard to vegetables, asparagus, butternut squash, blue potatoes as well. Three sub-themes that helped explain this relationship between the locally grown foods and students' preferences were identified. First, food sourced from farmers and wholesalers were seen to be of higher quality than a comparable product purchased through a broadline distributor. Freshness of product and flavor were used as indicators of quality, and flavor was tightly tied to variety. Second, the food service professionals felt that the school staff played an important role in motivating children to try the locally grown fruits and vegetables. For example, food service staff at 5 out of the 7 school districts began supporting farmers by placing orders for their own personal consumption. And as one food service director said, this type of support they felt had a trickle-down effect onto the students. And third, the majority of the food service professionals felt that the relationship between the students and the farmers influenced students' preferences for locally grown foods. These relationships gave food, quote, the local feel and turned the farmers' fruits and vegetables into what one food service professional called cool foods. And she said, "The kids just love the farmer. He's one of the coolest guys in the world. And if we're able to do that, it becomes a cool food. And kids like cool foods, you know. They don't want things that aren't cool." So in addition to supporting their child nutrition goals, the food service professionals felt that local food procurement supported their financial goals. And this was somewhat surprising given that cost has been repeatedly mentioned as a barrier to local school food procurement. But in our study, all 7 of the food service professionals said that the locally grown foods they purchased from farmers and wholesalers were priced competitively with and were often lower than a comparable product purchased through the broadline distributor. And the lower prices were due in part to shortening the supply chain and eliminating some of the transportation and handling costs incurred when purchasing foods from a long distance. But they were also influenced by flexible specifications. Several food service professionals said that because farmers and wholesalers had more flexible specifications, they were able to buy what they really wanted, which in one case was a malformed but low-cost carrot that was simply going to be chopped up for soup. Direct relationships with farmers and wholesalers also allowed the food service professionals to take advantage of what's called an opportunity buy, or products that farmers need to sell quickly. And these opportunity buys allowed them to buy foods like blue potatoes and Asian pears at below market value. 2 food service professionals did find at times that prices for products such as tomatoes were more expensive when purchased through a farmer than through a broadline distributor. But because they were able to get a higher yield with the farmer's product, the price per serving was actually lower than the comparable product purchased through a broadline distributor. And they called this creative purchasing. And this allowed the food service professionals to follow their procurement regulations, which placed priority on price while supporting their local communities. Finally, all of the food service professionals said that they bought locally grown food for their cafeterias because they wanted to support their local community. And supporting the local community has been identified by others as a key motivator for and benefit of local school food procurement. Buying locally grown food, especially from a farmer, required extra effort that the food service professionals did not feel that their peers would be willing to exert unless they had some level of concern for the farmer of the food. As one food service professional said, buying locally grown food is not just a business decision. Our findings provide insight into why food service professionals buy locally grown food for their school food program, and they add depth and complexity to the link between locally grown foods and children's food preferences that have been reported in quantitative surveys and in anecdotal reports. They also suggest that all food distributors are not created equal in terms of the products and the prices that they are able to offer. And most importantly, our analysis shows that there are ancillary benefits such as lower prices, flexible product specifications, and the local feel that come with personal relationships with farmers and wholesalers who are also involved in these programs. There are several limitations to this study. First, the small sample size and maximum variation sampling technique means that the findings cannot be generalized beyond the 7 programs that we studied. And second, the term farm-to-school program and local school food procurement were used interchangeably throughout data collection and analysis, but all of the research participants may not have equated these two terms. And when we were uncertain of how they used the terms, we made follow-up phone calls for clarification. In terms of implications for research and practice, because these programs are relatively new, much more research is needed to better understand their opportunities and challenges so that supportive programs and policies can be developed. Connecting children and food service staff to the source of their food appears to be a key mediator between locally grown fruits and vegetables and children's consumption of these foods. So as schools increasingly look to food distributors for their local food needs, educational materials that retain or create a connection between children and farms will be important. I'd just like to take a minute to acknowledge the individuals and institutions that supported this research, and thank you all for coming.
Good morning. So this has been a fantastic session.